Let's come now then to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're looking at this long series of descriptive phrases on the essence of genuine biblical faith that God honors. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we have just gone down through a long list so far. And now let's come on down to L, I believe is where we are. Faith gives blessing to others. Now look with me at verses 20 and 21. In verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In verse 21, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And the two sons of Joseph, their names were? Ephraim and Manasseh. Good. So, here were two of the patriarchs of the nation of Israel, and they are giving blessing to their sons. I like that passage as found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Let me find it for you. It says, a good man, and we put in there a good person, a good woman, leaves an inheritance to his or her children's children. Don't we want to leave a good inheritance? A good person leaves a good inheritance, right? It leaves an inheritance. But the inheritance is going to also have the quality of goodness based upon the person himself, herself, in relationship to God. And my thought to myself is what to, for glory is, what will we give to our children? What have we given to our children? What are we giving to our grandchildren? When they think about grandma and grandpa and our relationship to them, what are they thinking? What do they say about us when we are not there? Maybe we would not want to know. What do they text to each other? You know, what will they remember us by? You know, that type of thing. But if we can leave that inheritance that is a devotion to the Lord, a devotion to this book, that's beyond financial inheritance, is it not? Material things. Now, let's take a look at this. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I want to take you to the Old Testament, and we'll look at that blessing. We'll find it in Genesis chapter 27. Come with me to Genesis chapter 27. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. Remember in Genesis 27:1, it says, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him and said, here I am. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. So I take it that he expected to die. His death was imminent. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me and make me savory food such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Well, you know what happened. His wife heard about that. And so she sent Jacob out to get a goat. And then he dressed up, she made a little garment for Jacob, and so Jacob goes in to deceive Isaac, passing himself off as Esau. Remember? Now, let's go on down to verses 27 to 29 of this chapter. Jacob came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him. So here's Isaac blessing Jacob, thinking it's Esau, but he's blessing one of his boys. He says, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." What he's doing is putting a blessing of the Abrahamic covenant upon this son that he thinks is Esau. Now, my opinion here, folks, is this: that Isaac never knew what God had said to Rebekah when she was about to deliver the twins. Let me take you back to chapter 25. Go back to Genesis 25 and look at verse 22. Here is Rebekah pregnant. And it says, "The children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" Now, look at verse 24. "So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. The older shall serve the younger. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob." As I said, I don't read in Scripture that Rebekah ever told Isaac what had happened in his private disclosure. So Esau thinks the older should get the inheritance, the blessing of Abraham, and so he's going to do it. But God, in his sovereign control, flip-flops. And actually, it shows you how God takes the deception of a Rebekah and the deception of a Jacob. They collaborated to fool and deceive husband Isaac, father Isaac, so that the blessing that Isaac wanted to give to Esau will in fact go to Jacob, and it does. Now, they were wrong in what they did. And whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And did Jacob ever get deceived? Huh? By Laban? Many times, did he not? And you know, as far as I can tell, you know, Jacob went away for 20 years. I don't think Rebekah ever saw that boy again. It's pretty costly. But she lived near Esau, which probably was a problem. But anyway, there was that blessing. And it says he blessed them concerning things to come. And of course, he was thinking of this blessing that I got from Father Abraham that I have, I'm now passing on. I will not see that total fulfillment of that, but I believe in the God who is in control of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I believe that one day this will be fulfilled in my family. Let's go on to 21. It says, "Now by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." Well, let me take you over to Genesis 48 for that. Come on over to Genesis 48. In Genesis 48, in verses 1 to 22, you have this account where in verse 1 it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, 'Indeed, your father is sick.' And so Joseph went to his father, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim." And so it says, "Jacob was told, 'Look, your son Joseph is coming.' And he, Israel, Jacob, strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. And then Jacob recounted to Joseph all that God had done for him. 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, Behold, I will make you fruitful, multiply you, I'll make of you a multitude.'" So what Rebekah, the mother, had heard directly from God, and Jacob, in deceiving father Isaac, heard from Isaac, God later on reaffirmed that blessing to Jacob. And so Jacob knew that that blessing was really for him. The younger would rule over the older. And so when Joseph brought the children over to him, notice in verse 15, and he says, he blessed Joseph and said, and he goes on. Now look at verse 17. "Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him." What he did is he brought his two sons, and he brought his older son with his left hand so that Jacob there would put his hand on him. What Jacob does, he goes like this. And so Joseph thought the blessing should go to the older. Jacob, remembering what God had done and probably just directed by the Spirit, flips it like that. It's rather interesting, isn't it? But he does pronounce a blessing on them. I think it says something about both of these people. That notice at the very... let me point this out too. I have here... it continues to the time of death. Faith continues to the time of death. Come with me back to Hebrews, again, 11. And notice it says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau." Verse 21, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph." Later on, we're going to see in Joseph 22, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying..." Folks, right up until the point that we are dying, we can be a blessing and we can bless. We can speak and share with our children and our grandchildren what God has done in our lives and say, God has been true to his word. And we can share that with them. And I think faith begins at the time we are born into the family of God and should continue to the time when God takes us absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, my next point is this. Faith is optimistic. Come on back to this passage again. In verses 20, 21, and 22, look at the idea of things to come. It says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." And of course, he's talking there about the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, which is found in Genesis 12. Look at verse 22. It says, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel." Now, remember when Joseph was like the prime minister of Egypt, and that as a result of that famine, that his father and Joseph's brothers and family all came down into the land of Egypt. And approximately how many there were, do you recall? Total family members at that time? About 70, 75, somewhere in that category. How long did the family of Jacob and Joseph stay in Egypt before they departed under Moses. About 400 years, that's right. Let me just give you that passage. You are good Bible students. Let me take you to Genesis 15. Look at Genesis chapter 15. And look at verse 13. God said to Abram, Genesis 15, verse 13. God said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will serve them." That is the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jewish people will serve the Egyptians. "And they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge." Right. "I will curse them that curse thee." And God judged Egypt for what they did. "And they shall come out with great possessions." Remember, you might remember that. You know, where in the world did they get all of that gold and silver and precious jewels in order to construct all the fine items of the tabernacle? They got them from those Egyptians, right. "Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." So you have this promise that's reaffirmed here in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and then gave instructions concerning his bones. Now, I return you again to Genesis chapter 50. You realize that what we have in the New Testament is inseparably connected with the truth of history, the historical narrative that you find going through the historical books, and the truth of God's revelation. The same God who was working in the lives of the Hebrew people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's the same God that's working in the lives of those of us who are Christians in this new age of grace that began with Christ's death and burial, resurrection and ascension into heaven, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And today, Christ is building his church, made up of saved Jew and saved Gentile, made one in him and within the church. And that these things that we read about in the Old Testament, Paul even tells us, they're there for our admonition. There is profit there. So we take a look at Genesis chapter 50 and look at verses 22 to 26. So it says, "Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. He saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you, bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.' So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." And that ends Genesis. How old was Joseph when he went down into Egypt? About 17. So if he lived to be about 110... for about 93 years then, right? He lived in Egypt. He did go back one time to Canaan, Joseph. What was it for? Right, to bury his father. Right. So he makes this promise. Now, come on over to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. So we're talking then they're supposed to be in Egypt for about 400 years. We don't know how old Joseph was about the time when they came. Probably Joseph was about 30, in the 30 to 40s. But here, look at Genesis chapter, so well over 300 years later, 350 perhaps. Here we come to Exodus chapter 13, and notice verse 19. We're coming to the time of the Exodus, and it says here, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, 'God will surely visit you.'" Here's a promise of God, fulfilled when? 300, 400 years later. It's a long time. I always try to relate it to how long this we've been a country. You know, if you go back, say, 1776 or something like that, that's a long time. "And you shall carry up my bones from here with you." So they took their journey. So they took his bones. So they're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness and then come on over to Joshua chapter 24. Come on over to Joshua chapter 24. And look at verse 32. And here at the end of Joshua, it says, look at verse 31. "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph." Isn't that amazing? By the way, I think this speaks again to what we say, God's word is truth. Not that it just contains truth, thy word is truth. And that when you have these historical statements spotted, they blend as one truth when properly understood, interpreted, and so on. Because a lot of people are going to try to say the Bible is historically inaccurate. That is not true. Wherever we can find historical events, the Bible will fit right in. So, true biblical faith, as you can see, comes to pass in time. Maybe not in our time, but in the old time. So, can we pray for our children and for our grandchildren? Can we bless them? We have concern. Pray for them. But it may not happen in our lifetime, and we can't see it with our eyes. But the end of our life is just a chapter in their lives. And it may come to pass beyond. We don't know. Let's never give up on them. Right? And also, notice how in this one with Jacob, it says that when he blessed the sons of Joseph, he worshiped. May we continue to worship even at the time of death, at the time that we are concerned about our loved ones in the greatest way. It's so easy, you know, as we get older, we want that attention on us. And somehow you see here this attention going out toward others as the hand of God is upon them. Well, let's take one more. Let's take a look at Moses here. We're going to start Moses. And I have here in my outline, faith has concern for children. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born." Now, we've jumped many years, have we not, from Joseph to Moses. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents." Okay, you sharp students. Give me the names of Moses' parents. Jochebed and Amram. Okay, who's the man? Who's the woman? Who's the man? Amram. And the woman? Jochebed. Have you ever met a woman named Jochebed? How many Marys have you known? Sarah's? Hannah's? How about Jochebed? Poor Jochebed. And isn't that something, though? We get locked into certain names. But it says he was hidden 3 months by the parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. Now, if you look at your reference Bibles, you'll find that this word, beautiful, in the Greek text, is used of Moses. And it means exceeding fair or proper. But somehow, when he was born, they must have been impressed with his appearance. That somehow he must have been very, very special to them. Maybe in physical beauty, alertness, don't know. But what was the problem that was going on at this time that Moses was born? Yeah, that's right. Remember, the Egyptian authorities were concerned about the number of Hebrews increasing. Instead of saying, oh boy, another boy is born, we're going to have another boy slave. They're concerned that the population of them is going to be greater, and they might be a rebellion, and they'll just overturn us by numbers. And so, cast the baby into the River Nile, right? Infanticide. Not abortion, but infanticide. Let the child die. And you know the story. In fact, we're going to find it out next week, how that Pharaoh's daughter ends up with Moses. But notice it says, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And my point is this, that we should have our concern for children in the midst of a wicked culture as well. Moses was born within a very strong pagan society. Not his parents, but those who controlled that society were pagan, idolatrous, hateful, violent. And yet they had this wonderful love and care for this child. And we live in that culture as well. Isn't that true? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. You know, the Lord said, fear God, don't fear man. Don't fear that one who can take your life, but then can't do anything about it afterwards. Fear God who has control of both life and death and eternity. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, good to see you on this evening. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, our God, how thankful we are for these wonderful Old Testament people of faith. Help us to realize that in their cultures, they had to trust you. They didn't have the benefit of a total revealed scripture. The 66 books of the Bible. Some of them did not have the book of Genesis, let alone. But they trusted you. They trusted your word. We realize, our Father, they were not perfect and that you had to really overrule many of their decisions and their actions in order that your ultimate will would be accomplished. But in their heart, they were people of faith, and they've been honored here. And so may we see them for that area of life in which they were strong. Help us, our Father. We're just sinners saved by grace. We're imperfect. But help us to trust you to the very end, to worship you to the very end, and to be a blessing to the very end to all who are around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.